Power Records presents...
And welcome to another exciting episode of the Power Records Podcast, where the action comes alive. I'm one of your co-hosts, Rob Kelly, and joining me as always through these vinyl excursions is...
Chris Franklin. Ooh, vinyl excursions. That sounds like very texturally. I don't know.
I just threw it in. I don't know what I'm saying sometimes. Because you demanded it, we are back sooner than normal with a new episode of the Power Records Podcast. Chris, this is very exciting because, of course, the two stories we're about to talk about feature... genuine movie stars, who guess we would ever say that, Aquaman and Captain Marvel / Shazam.
I know, it's amazing to think that as we record this, we're just like a couple of weeks away from Aquaman and then a few months away from Shazam. So, wow, it's hard to believe.
Yeah, it really is. And it's funny. I mean, I grew up with my whole grudge against Shazam because, of course, he replaced Aquaman on so much merchandise in the 70s. But now all is forgiven because we've got the Aquaman movie, we've got the Shazam movie. And now these two Power Records adventures, and we'll get into the details of them shortly, I already covered back on the Fire and Water podcast back when I was doing like special Power Records episodes. But that was just me by myself, and it's not as fun. We have to do these proper, which means you and I together on the show. So we're going to do, they said, these two records, these Aquaman and Shazam. These are the only adventures the Power Records ever did featuring these characters. They're just one-offs. Why don't we talk about it afterwards? We'll get right to it. So let's kick this right off with Aquaman in The Defeat of the Dehydrator.
Hey, Jim, what time's the supply ship due in? Our food supply's getting pretty low, and it'll be dark soon.
It's overdue already.
Overdue? Boy, there must be a better way of making a living than running a lighthouse on an island in the middle of nowhere. Whenever folks on shore need anything, they hop down the corner store and get it. But out here, you gotta sit around and wait and wait and wait.
Hold it, Pete. There's a message coming in on the radio.
Yeah, same old story, I suppose. Supply ship delayed until tomorrow.
Shh, quiet. Good Lord. The supply ship has disappeared.
Disappeared? On a day like this? Not a cloud in the sky. Not a whitecap.
The report said that the Coast Guard got an SOS a few hours ago. A sudden violent storm kicked up, and the ship was going up.
Going down, you mean?
No, it said going up. But the ship's radio cut off at that point. Maybe they meant it caught fire and she was going up in flames.
Flames? We would have seen flames. But that reminds me. Remember the Aurora Borealis last night and the night before?
And unusually bright for the northern lights this time of year.
And strange how they look like a curtain of light dropping from the clouds to the ocean in just a small area. Northern lights usually seem to fill a whole part of the sky. Wonder if they affect the weather.
Talk about the devil. Look out there. The lights again. And am I seeing things, or is that a wall of water going up from the ocean to the sky like an illuminated fountain in reverse?
You're not seeing things, Jim. That's just what it is.
Aquaman!
Hi, Jim. Pete.
And Mara. What are the King and Queen of Atlantis doing out here?
We've been studying those mysterious lights and their effect on the water for some time now.
And frankly, we're worried. What if that curtain of light is in reality a sort of magnetic siphon controlled by intelligent beings from outer space?
Intelligent beings from some water-starved planet who, like ourselves, need water to survive.
And who have worked out a method of draining the ocean to provide life-giving water for their own planet.
Congratulations, Aquaman! Excellent reasoning for a mere earthling, I must say.
And who are you and what are you doing here?
I am Hydro, the dehydrator from the planet... Exodum, I have come to warn you, Aquaman, to remove all living things from the oceans of Earth.
But without water, they would die.
That is your problem. I am just trying to be what you would call humanitarian. In any case, within 24 hours, all the oceans of your Earth will be siphoned off to my planet.
Within 24 hours? That's impossible.
Oh, is it now? Look carefully at that curtain of light. Do you see that spaceship at the top? When I return there, I shall pull a switch which will activate the full power of our electromagnetic gravity intensifier.
Magnetic gravity intensifier? That explains the wall of water rising out of the sea.
Precisely. But what you see is only a small demonstration of its power, similar to the one earlier in the day in which the supply ship for this lighthouse was unfortunately caught up.
You murderer.
We wish Earth people no harm, but the people of Exodum must have your ocean. You have been warned. Farewell.
He's gone.
What are we going to do, Aquaman? Without water, not only everything in the sea will die, but so will every living thing on land.
We've got to stop Hydro before he pulls that switch. Come on, Mira. We're going to swim out to that curtain of light. Here we are. And there's the spaceship, way up there.
Aquaman, we're being pulled up with the water.
Just what I figured. We'll ride the water right up to the spaceship. Ah, there it is. And there's the airlock. Hang on to me now. And we're in.
Aquaman, how did you...
Never mind that. Quick, Mira, jam that switch.
Got it.
Curse you both. But you will pay for this. The automatic controls on the spaceship have been activated, and we are already on our way back to the planet Exodome.
Aquaman, he's right. We're moving up. No, we've stopped. We're going down.
Right. Look out that window.
It's Topo, our pet octopus, and a whole army of giant squids. They're pulling the ship down with their huge arms.
How did they get up here?
I sent a telepathic command to Topo to get his friends, the giant squids, and ride the wall of water up to the spaceship.
The way we got up here.
And pull it down to the sea where we shall turn you, Hydro, over to the authorities on land.
This was Exodum's last hope. I have failed my people, and now they are truly doomed.
But life on Earth has been saved thanks to you, Aquaman.
And to you, my beautiful queen.
All right, and that's with that grim ending, that was the defeat of the Dehydrator. Chris, what do you think of this one?
Well, can we talk about the title first? I mean, Defeat of the Dehydrator has a built-in spoiler warning, don't you think? I mean...
Yeah, there's no suspense here. Yeah, the Dehydrator is not going to come out of this one.
Yeah, I don't think calling it Aquaman saves Earth, but casually dooms another planet. It didn't have quite the alliterative ring to it, you know. Which...
Aquaman commits genocide.
Yeah, that ending. I mean, let's just get the ending out of the way. I mean, this is on a Justice League album. Couldn't there have been like one line of like, oh, don't worry about it, Hydro, I'll have my friend Superman and Green Lantern look into it or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. No, instead, it's you know, you have doomed my people, and now we are truly doomed. And then Mira's like, but life on Earth's been saved, Aquaman, and to you, my beautiful queen. And then the lapping ocean are just like, yeah, screw these aliens. They're all going to die. What are you going to do?
Screw you, alien. I'm going to make out with my hot redhead wife.
That is some dark stuff. No, of course, this segment isn't really a power record such in that this was originally recorded for a record by Tilton, which came out in 1968, which was Songs and Stories featuring the Justice League of America, which was, I guess, was made to tie in to the Filmation show. And that answers why Metamorpho and Plastic Man have stories, because they were actually going to be tapped by Filmation to get their own cartoon. It never happened. But right. This record was done as a tie-in. So then Power Records simply just bought all this material, put it on their own, slapped their own label on it, and put it on a record. Now, they made some edits because in the original Tilton record has an Aquaman theme. It has a genuine Aquaman theme song, but they edit that out for the Power record, I guess for maybe space limitations or something like that. But yeah, this and that's why you hear some different voice actors. Like Aquaman doesn't sound like Superman, doesn't sound like Batman, because they were using – because it was a completely different company making these audio adventures.
Oh, yeah, and it also explains why they say Aquaman.
Yes.
You know, like the Filmation, like Ted Knight, Aquaman, swift and powerful monarch of the ocean. You know, that's – It's like every time I watch that and they say Aquaman, Cindy walks through and goes, Aqua?
Yeah.
You know, it's just like,
Who says
yeah,
it like they, that? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, they say Aqua instead of Aqua, I know.
Yeah. Is it Aquafina? No, it's not. It's Aquafina. Come on, get it right. Yeah.
Exactly.
I love how the two like Navy guys just know Aquaman and Mira. Like when they show up, they're like, and Mira, like they're just familiar with them. Like it's classic, you know, friends of the government, superheroes at that point.
Right. Yeah. And it's kind of interesting. I'm glad that they use Mira here, but it's interesting that they didn't use Aqualad because, you know, I mean, they use Mira on the Filmation show some, but clearly Aqualad was, you know, they used him because Batman and Robin were so popular at the time. So it's strange that they bypassed Aqualad altogether here.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've never been able to find out any credits on this, so I have no idea who played Aquaman or Mira. But yeah, it's a fun little detail that they worked him in 1968. I mean, Mira was only around 5 years at that point, so it was kind of a bigger deal. And so, yeah, I always like this record. I feel, you know, kind of bad that Power Records never did another Aquaman record, but when they were hitting their heyday, this was the mid-70s, and that was not a great period for Aquaman, so I could see why. Although he was in the Super Friends, I guess. So that's, they could
right.
have done that. But, they never – this is the one time. So Power Records actually never really did an Aquaman story. They just bought one from Tilton. And I do have a kind of personal anecdote for this story. Is many, many years ago – I mean, you're talking more than 20 years ago – I used – that final clip from the story of, you know, my people are now, they are truly doomed and life is ours. I had that clip as my answering machine message. So when you would call me, you would hear that clip and it would play. So I had that on my answering machine. And in 1993, I joined a gym, and it was like one of the rare times I would join a gym. And for whatever reason, the guy who was like the guy that did me, that took me on the tour of the gym, had to call me. And so he called me, heard that answering machine message. So the message was like, I hear you hear the beep, and then there's this long silence. And then you hear the guy, and he was like this total muscle bound kind of guy. And he's like, hey there, Rob, this is so-and-so from the gym. And I just knew that he was like, what a pencil that geek he was calling, that I heard this awkward message. You could just hear the contempt in that silence. I was just like, oh yeah, classic. High school never really ends. So it was.
Poor Hydro. So you felt a lot like Hydro. You felt like you were doomed.
I did. I was like, this guy's totally like pencil neck geek kind of dude. But I was fine with it because I love it. Yes. And it's a fun record. I mean, overall, the Justice League record is really good. I mean, it's got a Flash story, a Wonder Woman story, and Metamorpho and Plastic Man with these great songs. And then plus the bizarro Justice League sing-along where there's a man playing Wonder Woman here, and then some elderly guy playing Batman here. I mean, it's total bizarro stuff.
Call the roll,
it's fantastic. And it's funny when you think about this. This is a very short story. This is only like 6 minutes. Like they managed to get a lot of plot in 6 minutes. It's very Filmation-y. I mean, you can see why. It's an alien attack, and Aquaman and Mira fend him off. It's right out of a Filmation episode.
Yeah, I mean, it even seems like, you know, the there was like three Justice League Filmation shorts, and they pretty much all had one planet was doing something because they were going to die, and then the other one, you know, the other planet came to tell the Justice League, and yeah, there was a lot of this, you know, we don't care about you, you know, your planet, blah, 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 especially with a team with a alien on it, like Superman, you know, it's just it's like, wow, way to go, guys. But yeah, they do pack a lot into this. I mean, they even though this isn't a Power record, Tilton here establishes the lighthouse and the Navy guys. You get to like a feel for the characters that they're the, you know, they're kind of our POV entrance into the story. So and they use the Aurora Borealis as a hook. That's a smart idea because I know as a kid I was fascinated by that. You know,
I thought
that's so cool. I mean, it's still cool, obviously, but you know, the fact it was like one of those things you didn't know about, and then when you heard it, you couldn't believe that it was like real. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's kind of neat that they use it as a hook to like mask what the alien, what Hydro's doing. You know, and I also like that Hydro's from the planet Exodoom, which kind of, you know, like, dude, you've your planet, right, your name right there. You know, you're screwed.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's Yeah, and they kill the men on the supply ship because Aquaman says, "You murderer," you know. And it's pretty dark. Not as dark as Power Records is going to get, but no. It's still pretty dark.
Yeah, it's a fun story. I grew up on it, and I've always loved it. And so, I'm glad we got a chance to talk about it together because it's a lot of fun. And again, it's future movie stars, Aquaman and Mira. So, speaking of movie stars, we're going to move right on to our second adventure, which is Shazam. And there's a bunch of interesting things to say about this one, but let's get right to it. So the next adventure is Shazam in The Mighty Dr. Illusion.
We are in the studios of WHIZ-TV as Billy Batson, famous boy newscaster, winds up his early evening program.
And my final item is a reminder about the mysterious, mind-boggling Dr. Illusion, whose phenomenal feats of legerdemain are the talk of the town. WHIZ is presenting him tonight in a TV special from our great open-air amphitheater before a live audience. Don't miss it. You're in for the treat of your life.
Gentlemen, introducing the incomparable, the great, the one, the only, the mighty Dr. Illusion!
Image or reality, ladies and gentlemen, that is the question. The substantive and the illusory, fact and fantasy, where is the dividing line? Or is there a dividing line? In my hand now, I have a deck of cards. I pick one. Aha! The Joker! A cameraman, zoom in close so the viewing audience out in TV land can see the card. Now, a wave of my hand, and presto!
A jester! A real-life jester!
Like out of the court of Henry VIII.
And here we have the King of Diamonds. I wave my hand over it like this, and...
real-life king on a throne. It's Henry VIII, I swear.
Image or reality, ladies and gentlemen. Fact or fantasy. Substance or illusion. Behold, a chess set? Mere pieces of carved ivory, pawns, knights, castles? Or...
Suddenly, out of a chess set materializes a living 16th century army. Each pawn transformed into 20-foot soldiers, each knight turning into 20 knights on horseback, all life-size and fully armored and moving forward threateningly in battle formation.
Holy moly! The audience will be trampled to death. They're stampeding toward the exits. This is the time for Shazam!
At the sound of that magic word, a bolt of lightning flashes out of the night sky. A tremendous clap of thunder shatters the air, and Billy Batson is transformed into the world's mightiest mortal, Captain Marvel!
Got to stop that army, and fast.
Racing straight into the menacing mass of marching warriors, his fists flail out like the driving pistons of a mighty locomotive, and one after another in rapid succession, men and horses fall, and a whole army is reduced to...
Holy moly! A chess set. The chess set that Dr. Illusion had on stage.
Captain Marvel. Wow, what a fight. I saw armored knights and horses and foot soldiers falling all over the place. But where are the bodies? All I see is a bunch of...
Right, Sam. Pawns, knights, castles, pieces of a chess set. That's all that's left of a powerful fighting force.
And the king and his jester, they're gone.
And Dr. Illusion, he's gone too.
Not yet, Captain Marvel.
Look, there he is on the stage.
I was hoping you would be present at this little demonstration of my power.
What do you want with me?
Only to destroy you.
And what will that get you?
Only the world, my friend. Only the world. So farewell for now. But we shall meet again, I promise you. And when we do...
One week later at the Science Museum.
Mommy, what's that?
What?
That big monster.
It's some kind of dinosaur.
What about this one, Mommy? It really scares me.
It's just another dinosaur called Rex Tyrannosaurus, and there's nothing to be afraid of. It's been dead for millions of years.
Dead? But it just opened one eye.
Oh, there goes that wild imagination again. I think it's time we went home.
It's open! opening the other eye.
That's enough, Tommy. We're leaving right now.
But, Mommy, it's moving.
Ah! It's walking. It's smashing everything in its way.
Run for your life.
Within minutes, terror grips the city as the ferocious Rex Tyrannosaurus smashes its way out of the museum and rampages through the streets, tearing down buildings, tossing cars and trucks around like toys, and shooting flame from its mouth.
This is Captain Mullaney in Car 101. That monster is uncontrollable. Send out a call for Captain Marvel. He's the only one who can stop this thing from wiping out the city. Holy moly, look at that thing. And coming this way, time for Shazam!
And as Billy is transformed into Captain Marvel, the sight of the mighty hero seems to rouse the monster to a blazing fury. That's got to be the biggest Rex Tyrannosaurus in history. It's 30 feet high if it's an inch, and shooting flames from its mouth. Hey, wait a doggone minute. A flame-breathing dinosaur? Impossible. Unless this is one of Dr. Illusion's...
That's right, Captain Marvel.
So it's another one of your little games, Doctor.
Yes, my friend. Only this time you'll find it's no illusion.
Holy moly, coming right at me. Whew, if those teeth don't get me, halitosis will. Okay, Rex, old boy, I'm ready for you. And then begins a titanic struggle between the world's fiercest dinosaur and the world's mightiest mortal as the beast lunges at his prey. You missed, Big Tooth. Let's see how you like this. Holy moly, my hardest punch, and he didn't even feel it.
You met your match this time, Captain Marvel.
Ripping a huge steel drive shaft out of one of the trucks overturned by the monster, he turns to face his ferocious foe. Come on, Rex, baby, one more time now. Come and get it. And once again, the frenzied beast lunges forward, his huge jaws agape. But instead of dodging, Captain Marvel leaps straight toward the terrifying twin rows of monstrous teeth and thrusts the steel drive shaft upright between the jaws of the startled creature, preventing them from closing. How do you like that, Big Mouth? And ripping off some cable wire from telephone lines the beast had torn down, Captain Marvel swiftly ties him up, jaws, forearms, and legs, and leaves him lying helpless on the street. That takes care of you, Rex, my boy. And now, to take care of you, Dr. Illusion, I've had enough of your fun and games.
But how do you take care of an illusion?
Like this. Bounding in a single leap to the rooftop, Captain Marvel tries to seize Dr. Illusion, only to see him disappear before his eyes.
Image or reality, my friend? Fact or fantasy? Substance or illusion? That is still the question, is it not, Captain?
And Captain Marvel sees Dr. Illusion reappear, apparently floating on air just above a building some distance ahead.
Oh, come now, Captain. You won't give up that easily, will you?
You can bet your bippy I won't.
You missed again.
Oh, that voice. I'm beginning to see the light. The mighty Dr. Illusion is an illusion.
Congratulations, Captain.
Now I see it all. There is no Dr. Illusion, but there is someone out there. You, Dr. Savannah.
Captain!
Dr. Illusion was simply an image projected by you, my old enemy.
From my control ship here in the sky.
But the performance on the stage, how did you...
That was really me, in disguise, setting the stage for our final confrontation here. Aren't you going to ask me about the jester, the king, and the chessman army?
I think I can guess. An illusion created by an invisible mind-controlling gas you sprayed over the audience and me.
Very good, Captain.
And the dinosaur?
A simple injection with a new serum I created in my laboratory restored him to life.
Very effectively, I must say.
So now you know the secret of Dr. Illusion. But the knowledge will do you no good, because the nuclear missile I am launching right now... is electronically guided to track you down. There is no escape for you this time.
But once again, Dr. Savannah underestimates the power and speed of his longtime adversary. Zigzagging too fast for the missile to track, the world's mightiest man grasps it from behind and aims it directly at Savannah's control ship. Bullseye!
is, ladies and gentlemen, the true inside story of the end of the mighty Dr. Illusion, and hopefully of the even mightier Dr. Savannah.
All right, that was the mighty Dr. Illusion starring Captain Marvel slash Shazam. Chris, what do you think of this one?
You know, this is one that I had no idea existed.
Yes.
I never came across it as a kid. If I had, I would have bought it. It's a lot of fun. I mean, it's kind of odd to me that they didn't ape the TV show, you know, the situation with Mentor and everything. But, I mean, Billy was supposed to be on a break from Wiz TV on that show, even though it only got lip service. So I guess it's still kind of, if you want to, you can make it fit in. But, It's fun. It's got some interesting interesting story elements that we'll discuss, but I enjoyed it overall.
Yeah, this was one of those records that I never knew existed, and it wasn't until I started doing my Power Records blog and I started going on eBay and looking for records I didn't have. And I was like, "Wait, there's a Shazam Power record? Since when?" And so I bought it, and it only exists as a 45. It was never put on any other format. It was never done as like a book and record. It was never put on an LP. And weirdly, it was never advertised alongside any of the other Power records. Like on the back of the records, you would see those group shots, you know, drawn by Neil Adams or somebody.
Right.
And it was like Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman. They never show Shazam. So like this one is just like this weird one-off. Clearly, the cover is by Dick Giordano, aping C.C. Beck. But so, I mean, clearly it was done by the same, you know, advertising agency. But like, it's weird how this thing just like was this one little adventure that they did. And Power Records never refers to it again. And just like, yeah, unless you literally have it, you don't have any idea that they ever did it. And it's strange because, as you said, Shazam was a TV star. You would think they would get more mileage out of that character because that was clearly where they were, you know, they were big on doing TV related characters. But I don't know. It's very strange. But as an adventure, I like it a lot. I think it's a fun – the Mighty Dr. Illusion is it's a fun story. It features – like the voice cast is clearly all the same people that did Superman and Batman.
Right.
You can hear all the same voices and stuff like that. The one voice that is weird to me is – Chris, have you ever seen the movie It Came from Hollywood? Are you familiar with that movie?
I don't think I've ever seen it. Does it sound familiar?
Okay. It's from 1982, and it stars Dan Aykroyd, Gilda Radner, John Candy, and Cheech and Chong. And And it's them talking about, like, bad movies. And it's kind of like early Mystery Science Theater. They don't literally sit in front of the screen, but it's these different segments where it's like Dan Aykroyd talks about troubled teenage movies, and Cheech and Chong talking about monster movies, and then they kind of comment over clips. And it's never been released on DVD because there's all these rights issues and whatever. But I love that movie. It's a really fun movie. And there's a segment where Dan Aykroyd talks about like brain transplant movies, and he plays this guy, and he's like, "Eek, a brain," and he does this high pitched voice. He sounds exactly like Dr. Illusion. Like it literally, I was like, for a half second, I was like, "Is that Dan Aykroyd as Dr.?" No, it couldn't be. He was doing Saturday Night Live at the time. But the voice is exactly the same. But I really like this. I like this adventure a lot. I think Shazam slash Captain Marvel is not always – the tone can be a little tricky, but I think they nailed it. I like this adventure a lot.
Yeah, it feels like the Shazam comics of the time that DC was doing.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little – there's trying to capture that whimsy of the original run, but it's a little more like a action comic of the time, you know. But – Dr. Savannah's voice, or Dr. Illusion, I'm sorry, although they ruin it right on the cover of the
right, did you see him?
The sleeve, there's Dr. Savannah, you know, where he says, "Image or reality, fact or fantasy, substance or illusion." I mean, I'm going to hear
great.
That in my sleep, you
awesome.
Know, because he keeps saying it over and over again. It's like, oh, stop it, quit saying that. But one thing I did notice that I thought was kind of weird is usually Power Records – will add a lot of background noise to kind of illustrate in your mind what's going on. And really, like when the knights attack, there's like one person screams. We don't hear other people in the background like running out of the auditorium, or you just hear like the knights marching, the horses. And then when the Rex Tyrannosaurus, which is like, when did that happen? Isn't it Tyrannosaurus Rex?
Mm.
When it attacks, there's not a lot of like stomping destruction sounds like brick falling or things blowing up or anything. It's just, it's very, it's like they didn't they didn't quite, you know, do the Foley work and things that they usually do in these power records, which is something that jumped out at me, because usually they're on the ball with all the background noises you would hear.
Oh yeah, they're great at that stuff.
Yeah, so they kind of dropped the ball on that some, but I mean, it didn't really take me out of it too bad, but I just noticed it. But I did note that it said that Captain Marvel punched out the knights and the horses, which of course made me think of Mongo from Blazing Saddles.
Captain Marvel merely pawn in Game of Life.
That's right.
Yeah, it's such a strange set. It's I would love to know someday. I'm gonna never write that book, that coffee table book about Power Records, because I'd love to learn this stuff. I mean, why was this record made, and why was it so decidedly set aside from the rest of their line of records? It's very strange. I mean, so but anyway, it does exist. It's out there, and so I hope everybody enjoyed it. It's Shazam and the Mighty Doctor Illusion, and again, like Aquaman, he's a movie star. I think that movie comes out in, I think it's February, I thought I heard.
February, so it's, I think. Yeah.
So it's only 3 months away at this point. Aquaman's only a couple of weeks, but Shazam's only 3 months away. And here they are connected, and that these are the next two DC movies. So, so I'm finally glad we got a chance to do these two adventures.
Can I bring up one more thing about the Shazam record?
Sure, of course.
So Dr. Savannah gives a simple injection to restore a dinosaur to life. So, again, we have to bring up, why is this bozo missing with finding Captain Marvel when he would receive the Nobel Prize, millions of dollars, billions of dollars for – he just revived something that had been dead for a million years.
I know.
Get your head out of your butt, Savannah. I mean, come on, dude.
Him and Luthor, they just can't get over their hate. You know, they can't see the forest for the trees with this stuff. That's just
exactly
the way those guys are.
Yeah, I know what that's something we do, but whenever it comes up, and this one's like, really, it's like, it was simple. I injected him with a formula I created in my lab. You know, it's just like, if it was that simple, what are you doing fighting this big red cheese? Go out and, you know, like, revive everybody that's dying. You know, I mean, it was like, oh my God. It's just like, oh, yeah, but okay.
Bring
and
back.
That's applauded in itself.
Yeah, I mean, you could bring back dinosaurs and open, say, oh, I don't know, a theme park and make a ton of money.
Captain Marvel and Jurassic Park.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, so.
That'd be awesome. Yeah,
you did that. You did that voice very well, Chris. I have to say, it's frighteningly
thanks.
How good you are at that Savannah voice. So, well, anyway, yeah, that's going to do it for these two adventures. So we're going to move right on to our listener feedback from the last episode, which, unusually, it was only a couple of months ago, as opposed to the 3 years we usually have between these episodes. So we have feedback from episode 18, which was our Fantastic Four Spider-Man episode, and we got comments on the website, which is, of course, fireandwaterpodcast.com. So our first comment is from Santaran. He says, or maybe I said that wrong, I can never remember. He says, hey, a new Power Records. I had almost given these up for dead. Saying it's never gone for that long. It's just a matter of Chris and I having the time to do it. So yeah, we're back. I'm glad to disabuse you of that. The show is definitely not dead. So we got a comment also from Brian Washington. He says that listen to the podcast. Great stuff as always. I don't know who voiced the thing yet, but Peter Fernandez, Johnny Storm, Human Torch, was also the narrator and the Mole Man. In other stories in the LP version, he voiced the Phoenix and narrated the Incredible Hulk at bay. The LP version, Spider-Man and Friends, was released in 1974, years before Spider-Man and his amazing friends on television. The one connection with that LP and Frosty the Snowman producers Herb Davison and Charlotte Sanders. Among the several Peter Pan albums they wrote and produced was The Funky Phantom. Fernandez voiced Skip, Uncle George, and several other characters. Corrine Orr, Trixie on Speed Racer, voiced April as well. With Bells of Doom, the story was written by Arthur Korb, who wrote and or produced numerous materials for Peter Pan Records. And the 45 in this case is actually a 7-inch LP, just saying. Thank you for all the info, Brian. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I always get, if it's that size, I think it's a 45. I don't think about it being an LP, but it's, you know, it. Yeah, of course, they are different. So, yeah.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah. We got a comment from Joe X. He said, the FF bit is on Norm MacDonald's 2006 album, Ridiculous, which you actually put at the end of the episode, which was great. I'm glad you did that.
I love that thing so much.
That was hilarious. You said it was, and it was, yeah. He says, I know Mark Waid had Daredevil fight Old Moley in 2012, but I don't remember anything earlier. I had asked, because they said the Mole Man had radar sense in that story. I'm like, has he ever fought Daredevil? So he answered my question. So he said, I just found out that rapper MF Doom sampled the Spidey story for his track Bells of Doom. So, wow. So these rappers just love Power Records.
That's a real thing. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's out there, and I mean, I guess technically it's not really in the public domain because the company that was Power Records is still in business as another company, but I don't know if they're just not enforcing their copyrights or if it's weird because it's characters they don't own or what the deal is. But yeah, they apparently get sampled a lot. So, but anyway, speaking of somebody that knows how to make a music, Ward Hill Terry, who wrote us a House of Frankenstein song on Supermates, commented, "I was listening to this while mowing the lawn. I've listened to many F&W podcasts over the past 2 years while doing yard work. It's gotten to the point where places in the yard correspond to specific episodes. Behind the lilacs where Dad's garden was equals Wonder Woman Power Record. The fenced-in part next to the garage equals Superman Movie Minute TV tie-in ads. The hedges at my mom's old house equals Ryan wondering about Al Adam Pratt's sexuality on Secret Origins. Taking the wallpaper off in the front room equals a whole lot of Turn It Off with Tracy. This one may get stuck in my head as the front lawn equals lousy Spider-Man versus Sonic Man story." Yeah, that's funny how I guess that's that, you know, he thinks of the Fire and Water Podcast Network every time he's doing lawn work. So that's
I guess that's least, a good thing. I don't know.
At least he's thinking of us, I guess. Right.
So, yeah, it's I'm glad we could make these tedious chores a little more entertaining, at least. So,
right.
We got a comment from Gotho's Mansion, and he says, "Since you mentioned first hearing the Fantastic Four story on the album without the book, I have a question for you, Chris. Could you keep up with what was going on in the story? For example, when Ben says he's about to do something and we get the weird audio effect that sounds like a cross between a robotic Slinky and exhausted Moose trying to fight off sleep. Ben never really says what he's doing, but it sure sounds like something weird. I think this is the first time I've heard the story without the accompanying visuals of the book since I had the book and record set." So, Chris?
I don't know. I don't remember how I reacted to those things, but there was some weird sounds and music in that one. It went almost sounded like a Fat Albert cartoon or something. You know, at the time, it just like something. You know, it just sounded really strange. So I don't remember how I felt about it because ever since I've been an adult, I've got the comic and the record, and I'll go to your site and look at the pages while I'm listening to it. So, yeah, it probably was kind of hard to follow without it, though, honestly, because, yeah, there is some weird stuff going on in that one.
Yeah, I can't separate. I see the images in my head, and I can't do otherwise. So, yeah, that's the way it is. So we got a comment from Steve Cronin. He says, "I got this album in the summer of 1976 or 77 and listened to it a billion times. It was definitely in stores. I think mine came from Kmart. I listen to the Fire and Water shows on my morning runs." Hey, Steve. "And even though I haven't heard the album in 30 to 40 years, I was mentally saying the words along with the record. If only my Spanish classes had burrowed into my brain that much." "Rob, Chris, thanks for bringing back the show and for all you do to keep us entertained." Well, thank you, Steve. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. That's very nice.
All right. And we got a comment from Bruce Wayne Weaver. "Only 9 months between episodes? I guess life gets in the way, but worth the wait. Rob and Chris are in top form, always insightful and entertaining. Power Records Podcast is my personal favorite on the FW network and always delivers. I listened to this one at work, and it brought some joy to my otherwise dull job. Keep it up, guys, and please try to get us a couple more episodes per year." Can do, Bruce.
Yep, we're here, and I know the feeling. I listen to almost all my podcasts at work, and it really does help me get through the day. So, yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks for the kind words. Very nice. We got a comment from Mike Bridges. "As always, guys, another great episode. The Power Record Podcast is by far my favorite podcast and the one that is the least updated." Yeah, I know, not a lot of new material to talk about. So there's another person's like, wow, there's a lot of love for Power Records.
Yeah,
so yeah. We're going to have to do these more often, Rob.
We're going to have to do it. Yeah, absolutely. We'll have to find the time.
Yeah, Mike continued, "I have to say yes. Go back and redo some of the older episodes and do some you haven't covered yet," which we're doing. We're doing ones Rob covered before. "Still waiting for you to cover the Hulk LP, my all-time favorite story record. Wouldn't even mind some G.I. Joe if you remove the turn the page beeps." Yeah, there's a lot of love for those G.I. Joe records, I know. We might have to rope in our buddy Brian Heiler on that one because I know he loves the G.I. Joe record. So
yeah,
maybe.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I didn't have those as a kid, but I have them now. That might be kind of fun to give them just a look-see because, yeah, they were booking record sets, and they're goofy. I mean, G.I. Joe is, like, fighting a mummy and stuff. There's some weird things over there. So, yeah, maybe we'll do that at one point.
Yeah.
We got a comment from Sphinx Magoo. He says, "Anyone else think that the Mole Man sounds a bit like Simon Barr Sinister from the Underdog cartoons?" He absolutely does. Penny, yeah. Also, the Spidey narrator did a pretty nice Burt Lancaster impression, and Ultrasonic Man sounded pretty close to Jack Lemmon. I can't say I heard either one of those sphinx, but you have to figure that those actors were probably, you know, summoning famous voices in their head. And Burt Lancaster was a famous impression that people did. Jack Lemmon, that's a kind of tougher one. But yeah, you could imagine that these were actors sort of casting the roles as they were doing them.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's, I mean, they had to have somewhere to start. If they get a hook like that, that'd be a good way to go. Yeah. We got a comment from Luke Giaconetti who said, for the second portion, any thoughts on who is going to play Ultrasonic Man in the next Spider-Man movie? Anyone? Anyone? Hey, he might show up. Apparently, they're doing some bits where, like, a lesser villain shows up at the beginning, and, you know, so maybe, who knows? I doubt it, though. He says, sorry, if I hear bells in a Webhead story, all I can think of is Web of Spider-Man number one with the alien costume. Just saying. Yeah, I mean, I think I brought that up. You know, Spider-Man could have, like, used Ultrasonic Man, got him out of prison to fight Venom. You know, so
Why not?
Hey, he could show up in the next Venom movie because I'm sure they're going to make a sequel after that.
He's making $1 billion. Yeah.
Oh man, and I know we're going off topic. I actually enjoyed it. I thought it was kind of fun. It's kind of nutty, but it's just fun. It's just a fun nutty movie. It's just, you know, nothing, no great cinema there, but it's fun. So.
All right, fair enough.
And Luke finishes with a fun episode, guys. So thanks, Luke.
Thank you, Luke, and thanks everybody for leaving comments. We really appreciate it. I had no idea that, like, the show is kind of like that popular, but I guess it is. And although we'll have to see what the comments you get for this one, because maybe it's one of those, like, absence makes the heart grow fonder. Like, we did 9 months between episodes. Maybe people really missed it, but now we're back very soon. But we promise Chris and I will come back and do another one sooner than later, early in 2019. We'll have to find some other records we want to talk about and come back. So, again, great. This is awesome. Chris, thank you as always. It's always fun talking these with you, and it's exciting that we finally got to do these two very fun adventures featuring movie stars Aquaman and Captain Marvel.
Yeah, I gotta say, one of my friends on Facebook, she's a mom of one of my son's friends. She posted a picture of Jason Momoa, you know, with his shirt off, and she said, "Yeah, I'll take you to see Aquaman." Yeah. So. So I thought that was kind of funny. So we're not only nerds aren't the only ones that are excited to go see Aquaman. So there you go.
Absolutely. So, okay. As always, if you want to leave comments, go to our website, fireandwaterpodcast.com. And there will be a link to my Power Record site where you can see some of though there isn't much to look at for these particular records, it's just the sleeves and stuff. But nevertheless, there you can find all the Power Record stuff there as well. Again, so thanks everybody for listening. And I guess until the next episode, drop the needle.
And turn the page.
Come, Robin. Into the Batmobile and home.
This was Exodoom's last hope. I have failed my people, and now they are truly doomed.
But life on Earth has been saved thanks to you, Aquaman.
And to you, my beautiful queen.